A podcast that shines a light on the positive, healthy, hopeful projects going on in Humboldt County. We'll talk about things that are happening to help everyone live a better life and what things you can do in your corner of the world. Look, we know about the problems. We talk about them, read about them in the news, and see it every day too. That's what drives us to want better and to be part of the good. My name is Juliette Ferry, and I will be your host of the Humboldt Healthcast, which is another community project of the Humboldt IPA here in Eureka. Hi, everyone. This is our last episode of the second season of Humboldt Healthcast, which is a pretty amazing accomplishment since this entire project has been done during the pandemic. It speaks to the dedication of our team to this project and pretty much everything we do at the Humboldt IPA. Life was already challenging enough before March of 2020, and then things just got harder. Harder for some than others. A quote from Damien Barr to emphasize this point is, "We are not all in the same boat. We are all in the same storm. Some are on super yachts. Some have just the one oar." This pandemic has evoked a lot of feelings. To say the least, we're overwhelmed. It's common to feel confused and angry by other people's choices. There's frustration at the seeming loss of common sense. There's so much grief. We're sad that we've lost people we love. And we've watched people we love lose people they love. We're scared. We feel powerless, lonely. So for this last episode, it felt appropriate to talk about grief and circle back to one of my favorite episodes of this season, a discussion with Dr. Gina Belton. I remember before I interviewed Gina, and it was at the end of a long week on a Friday, at the end of the day. So after a week of talking with a lot of people, I was feeling really drained. And then I looked at my calendar and saw that I had this interview that I knew was going to be about grief and death. And I was just like, why did I do this to myself? But oddly, after that conversation, I felt energized. And that's my hope for myself and others, that what the weird gift of grief can give to us is to help us realize how fragile and precious and beautiful life truly is, so that we can appreciate it while we have it. I'm not sure who this quote is attributed to. It's attributed to a few people, and it stems from the saying, "You only live once," but we actually only die once. We live every day.
So when I think about how to answer that about the best life to, in order to die our best death, I think of my dear teacher, Frank Ostiseski, who many people may or may not know, but he's a thought leader in the end of life experiences and was one of the co-founders of the Zen Hospice Project in San Francisco. And he teaches from these beautiful orientations that he calls the five invitations. And they take you right to the heart of the matter. This is where we talked about those five invitations, which were don't wait, welcome everything and push away nothing, bring your whole self to the experience, find a place of rest in the middle of things, and cultivate don't know mind. Now, in that little tiny snippet of a very long story that I won't go into now, every one of those invitations I intuitively moved into. So when I arrived, I didn't wait to negotiate a whole joining with this experience. I did get permission from the nurse. I said, okay, but it's don't wait. Let's meet everyone where we are and welcome my whole self to the experience. How can I be of service in this moment? And in that moment, it was just to remind their son, you used to shave your father every morning. Would you like to do that now? I didn't know I could do that. You betcha. gathered up all his tools to do that. It was one of the most intimate end of life ceremonies I ever saw in my, I was ever able to witness as he shaved his father for the last time.
Those are so beautiful. And that sounds like two things, and maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but it sounds like the five invitations are in this moment of passing, and then also just good things to live by every day of your life. It's like, don't wait to say the words at the end of someone's life. Don't wait. And it's like, don't wait to say the words right now. Call
That's
that
right.
person, tell them what you're thinking. Say, I love you. Like, it's okay. It's okay to tell
That's
people
right.
you love them.
That's okay. That's right. Mend the rifts. Mend the fabrics of your relationship if that's what's being called for. Celebrate the celebrations. That's exactly right. So these invitations to turn toward the mystery at the end of life are also the invitations for living your life forward.
Oh, that's
and
so
he,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Can you just read those again, please?
Absolutely. Don't wait. That is the doorway to possibility when we don't wait. This second one is my favorite because it's often the one that is the cornerstone of every action with families. Welcome everything, push away nothing. Now, what that invitation invites us to is to be with whatever is, as it is. As Frank likes to say, don't take sides. Let's just show up, and like we mentioned a minute ago about how can I serve this moment? Right.
That one particularly, I'm the mother of a brand new teenage girl. She just turned 13. And it's like that Ooh. Welcome everything. It's like, because this is like a grief. I'm grieving her adolescence, which is going to tear me up, of course. But it's like, I'm
yep.
saying goodbye to that child. So it's like
yep.
welcome everything. It's like, welcome the feelings. Like, I'm sad because it was such a beautiful time that we shared. And now we're just heading into a transition of this teenage world, but it's like, still welcome it, like still welcome the beauty that's like this horrendous tumultuous time right now.
Yeah, while not pushing that horrendous tumultuous time away, right?
Right.
And it's not about merging with those difficult feelings or repressing or suppressing them. It's about being curious. Can I welcome everything and push away nothing? What you just described is so beautiful and reminds us what I used to remind my nursing students is, even though your career, 83% of your career, as the statistics say, is going to be spent at the bedside of someone dying, there are also other experiences of dying that are happening all the time
all
in your
life.
I mean, all the transitions we move through in our life require a grief, experience that if we turn toward it and recognize it and honor it, that's definitely one way to live our best life as we turn toward the mystery of our death, because we're honoring all of these times in our lives, right? The special part. I particularly, adolescence, my goodness, right? Oh, so wrought with everything.
Everything.
Talk about welcome everything. But I also remember, even with my own daughter, when moving through that experience, I remember all of a sudden I thought, I think I'd like to ritualize certain things, and not to overly ceremonialize everything, but I would like decide once a month I'd like to have tea with her,
right?
And we made a little tea ritual out of it, and then just little things, and that points towards that often the very tiny intimate gesture has such a huge impact, versus the grand movement.
Yeah, they can start to feel put on, like these big things, but it's the small, it really is the small things.
It really is. And especially as you're moving. So we'll talk about how that it shows up in our living, and how that can honor and bring, turns us to, it's those small things that turn us toward awe. Right. And there's a really beautiful E.B. White quote that I just love about, says, remember to be open to the presence of wonder. So I have to remind myself sometimes to go, yeah, the sun is still shining and it's spring and there's birds out.
Bees pollinating.
Bees and
I get so much
exactly.
enjoyment from watching the bees just like scurry around. It's just like beautiful to see those little things. And that's what in the when the world gets so heavy and it's like everything's spiraling and the political climate and you know the pandemic
Yes.
and all these things, it's like just bring it down to now because that's all that we have is right now, actually.
That's right, right now. It's so lovely too that, you know, today is National Bee Day. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, that's beautiful.
I know. And thinking about the bees beezing about, as they will. I remember, oh, one of the most tenderest end of life experiences with a very, very dear friend who was dying from pancreatic cancer, and I had gone to visit him in the Bay Area, and I walked through his house. I'm like, "Hello, where are you? Where are you?" And he said, "I'm back here. I'm back here." I said, "Okay." And he was lying flat on his back in the grass, like way underneath the lavender bushes. And he whispered, he goes, "Come, come, lay down with me. The bees are buzzing." So, I mean, that was one of my last precious experiences with him. Talk about a ceremony. You
Yeah,
know, I think of that
that's
little bee
beautiful.
ceremony we had together
Yeah,
in that moment.
that's
But
beautiful.
welcome to everything in that. And we didn't wait, you know, it was push away nothing. So, yeah, the next thing, because you could, you know, because it could be, you know, you're up, you know, if you're a phys, you know, a clinician or even, you know, family members, we can't get, you know, attached to our roles or ideas about how we should be as this, a mother, a father, a sister, or whatever. And in that moment, pushing away nothing, I'm going to let that those roles drop and just be with you and the bees and the lavender,
Right.
right? Yeah, so and the third invitation is bring your whole self to the experience. Well, lying down on the grass with your friend head to head and smelling the lavender while the bees buzz around your head. That's
You're just
definitely
all there,
bringing
just
all there.
appreciating it. And it doesn't have to be, you know, that sounds like a really special moment. And there's no that way that you could plan that, you know, like this is what I'm going to do in my last moments is sit under the lavender bushes and watch the bees. You just were open to it.
That's right. That's right. And that was being open to the presence of wonder, right? It happens. It happens. It's just there. And the fourth invitation is so, I think, essential, especially if you're a caregiver and a loved one who's tending to that beloved. And it's the invitation to find a place of rest in the middle of things. Now, when we were in the year-long training with Frank Ostiseski and other thought leaders in the Metta Institute for this program, the Spiritual Midway to the Dying, that invitation often meant to turn us toward practicing with the breath. You know, so that little space between the inhale and the exhale, there's a little gap. And sometimes when the intensities are really intense, I can just take a breath, right? That little space, sometimes all I need to just give me some respite in that moment. And then the fifth one, I think, is also really important, is cultivating don't know mind. Now, again, going back to what we talked about, you know, the roles, whether they're professional or personal, when we're stepping into the great unknown, that is the mystery of the dying time, you want to feel some mastery, right? I want some tools. I want to understand. I want to know what's ahead, what's happening. I want to be prepared. Well, good luck with that. You know, and but I will share, as Frank Ostiseski said, he wants, yes, mystery and mastery. If you do have some tools, yes, feel, you know, embrace those, be ready to operationalize those when necessary, but don't lead with that. You know, you don't, there's, it really isn't necessary to lead with that. That's the point of don't know mind. Can I show up to this experience with my whole self, taking a deep breath and just be with what is and be curious and humble and ask, how can I serve? How can I be of service? And I share with all of my students, regardless of what discipline they're in, this little model, right? If you come with this notion that you're going to fix something, then you are telling your this beloved that they are broken. Now look at the gap between those two hands. And then there was a notion in the disciplines, well, I'm going to help. Well, you're still communicating that the beloved is helpless.
Yeah.
But if you show up with the intention to serve, you're going to meet someone right where they are.
And again, like everybody, you know, it's like if I'm coming up saying like, how can I, you know, how can I support you? Basically, it's like,
right.
You know, what can I do? You know, I'm not coming with the assumption that something needs to be fixed or something is wrong. It's just maybe something I have can be of service to you. I don't know.
There you go. That's right. And then you get to form what is really, I think, the foundations of a true therapeutic alliance, right? I think, and it's been my observation, because you're building trust in that first moment. You're demonstrating in that moment with your family or those that you're serving in a professional capacity that you're not going to come in with all of your expertise and rearrange their world. I mean, that's one of the first things I used to say when I was in public health and meeting folks in their various, and we know living in Humboldt County, there's a very, you know, different experience of and myriad versions of living experiences. And as far as I was concerned, I just always met everyone where they were. And that was my joy. So what's your strength here? What do you love? What brings you alive? See, that takes us back to how do you love well? So I might be meeting someone at the end of life, but you're still alive until your last breath.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So I would even ask that question, what's alive in you now? And sometimes they would say confusion.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other benefit of taking a breath with families too. I would do that when I was working with families too. We would practice paying attention to our breath, and then we would ask that question, what's alive? What's alive in me now? Confusion, sorrow, grief, love, connection, hope. You know, these were all things I'm not making up. I heard as we were sitting in circle, you know, and many, many more. So,
yeah, so like all these things are, my world is of a mother of a teenage girl. And so it's like all this advice is like so wonderful, because it's like, that's my new role, is like assistant manager. Like she is in adult training. And so it's like, I'm not rolling in anymore saying like, you know, you got to do this, you got to do this. It's just like, okay, let's see. How
let's see.
Okay. You know?
Yeah. Let's see how we did those first few years. Right.
Let's see how that all went.
Let's see how this is all going to work out for us. I know. I know.
Advice for everything, you know, for clients, for ourselves, for end of life, for living. It's just like, it's just beautiful advice. Thank you.
And you'll be happy. I always do my best to recommend this too, to put it on your bookshelves too, for your coaching. I'm so happy that Frank finally put it into a book and made it accessible to folks. And it's called The Five Invitations, Discovering What Death Can Teach Us About Living Fully. Which is exactly the heart of your question, right?
That's beautiful.
So, yeah. That's so and great. Like you, I find that it seems to be a way into any experience I might want to, I'm navigating with some kind of intensity.
The Humboldt IPA is proud to bring you Veterans Day at McKay, a 5 and 10K walk, run, and community connections fair celebrating veterans and active duty members of our armed services. The races and fair will be held on Saturday, November 13th at the McKay Community Forest on Harris Street in Eureka. For more information, visit humboldtipa.com/run.
Here we are, right, at the end, at a year later of this collective trauma of a pandemic together, right? So on one hand, we were able to, our death anxiety could kind of live right here in the periphery, just out of eyesight. But then the COVID arrived, and now it was right here at the tip of our nose. It's right. Still right here at the tip of our nose, right? And as I think it was Atul Gawande who said in one of his books that filling out an advanced care planning form, the ICU doorway is not an optimum experience. So even though those little practical pieces of filling out the forms and having the conversations are supportive, I tend to work towards those practicalities of the end of life experience by moving through that portal of entry of exploring attitudes, values, and beliefs. So if folks want to make a difference in their corner of the world, they can take a minute to be still. And like you and I both do when we're asking folks to pay attention to their breath and really ask themselves, what's my attitude about this, whatever the this is? What values that I hold dear are exemplified by this? You know, what are my beliefs? You know, and sometimes the beliefs are a story. And we don't know until we do that close examination. And that's what the end of life teaches us about living fully. I mean, if we're going to be honest about it.
Right.
You know, it has us examine our life. And in the end, there are only two questions. Keep name dropping here, but Jack Kornfield reminds us that the only two questions at the end of our life is, did I love well? And was I loved well? So, you know, if you want to think about how to make a difference in your corner of the world, love your corner of the world well. Love it well. And what does that mean? Only you know.
Oh, what does it mean? Beautiful. It's just so beautiful. Just, and exactly, no one can tell you what that means. You can tell yourself. You can find out.
Yeah. And then we'll, you know, hate to sound so kind of cornball about it, but then we're all going to be each those little bees buzzing around the lavender fields, right? Cross-pollinating. If this is my way of loving the world well, and you're loving the world well with your coaching, and Rosemary is loving the world well with supporting programs, look at how all of this weaves together and this really beautiful net of support and community, because that's really all the community is connection.
That's a wrap on season 2. We'll be back next year to highlight more of the good. In the meantime, get good rest, eat more veggies, drink water, get outside for some walks, take care of yourself. The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Ave in Eureka, and we provide primary care, mental health counseling, care coordination, wellness coaching to people with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield HMO, Anthem Blue Cross HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast, brought to you ad-free by the Humboldt Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliet Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music created by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Essez, Jessica Osborne-Staffness, and Vanessa Verdiak. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouten for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, rate, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. Be part of the good, Humboldt.